Welcome. I'm Kelly Weaver with the Big Idea Competition, and I appreciate all you teachers out there that have participated in Big Idea or considering it. And we'd like to give you a little information about Big Idea and bring in some experts today who have been using this in their classroom and have had finalists in the competition that can give you a little bit of insight from their perspective about Big Idea. So the Big Idea Competition is been around since 2007. Our goal is to promote entrepreneurship, spur creative thinking, and encourage students to start a business. The competition basically is a business idea competition. It's not a full-blown business plan competition. The students are required to submit about 1,075 words describing their business idea. This is for high school students only, and it's for students in the United States and U.S. territories. And it is also includes a few other categories where students can compete for additional prizes, including our optional marketing design competition, which we'll talk about in a minute, and some special category awards. This year we have agriculture innovation, wellness, hometown business, and makers ideas, which is a new category this year for businesses that are actually physically making something, whether it's a custom piece or something that's more made in large quantities. So we're excited to bring that on board this year. Over $50,000 in cash and scholarship is awarded through the Big Idea Competition, and you can find out what the actual prizes are for each category on our website. The Big Idea Competition opens in September, and students have until October 31st to submit their entries, which are all done online. And then we have our judging period in early November, which is also done online. So we have judges all across the United States, all across South Dakota, that are doing judging. And we have two competitions this year. We've gotten more and more interest from students outside of South Dakota. So we instituted last year a final competition that will be held virtually for out-of-state students. And then our in-person final competition, as we have always had, the following day, and that is going to be on campus at Northern State University. So just to give you some idea about the participation level in Big Idea, we receive about 250 to 300 entries every year. Entries can have up to three students, so that's why you see more students than entries there. Some people have two or three students that are working together on a project. About a third of our entries submit marketing designs. Last year, we had a lot more marketing designs submitted than in the past. And those entries that meet the category, special categories, are just indicated there for last year. So that kind of gives you our history from last year and since we were started in 2007. Why is this an opportunity for your students? They get a good experience in preparing a business concept and understanding the different aspects of starting a business. A lot of us know the business from the customer side of the counter, not from the backside of the business. So this gives them some insight into all the things they need to consider. And you can see there's some quotes there. The one in red is from a student. The one in white at the bottom is from a teacher. And we do survey our students every year as they submit their entry. And we find that about 60% of our students are more interested in starting a business after they've participated with Big Idea. So some steps to enter the competition. If you're an advisor, and if you're a teacher watching this, you're going to be an advisor and you're going to have students in your classroom. So we ask that you create your advisor profile first, so that when your students create their profile, they can choose the school and they can choose you as their advisor. And that will give you access to having them in your platform so you can watch their progress and see if they've submitted their entries. The students then have to complete the application form. If they choose to participate in the marketing design competition, they have to upload that marketing design, essentially an ad that they create for their business idea that they upload as a separate document. And then they will be asked to complete a survey at submission. And then you have to wait until the results come in mid-November. What does the application itself look like or consist of? We have some introductory questions. What's the business name, the industry? If they qualify for a special category, they just mark a button there to say, yes, I qualify for the wellness category. And there'll be a description of what that type of business is. And then we ask them about business status. Are they in business? Are they looking to start a business and within the next year? Then they have 5 sections where they have written criteria. We have a word limit for each of those, the concept overview, the product or service, the marketing opportunity, the competition, and the management and operations. And within each of those sections, they'll be presented with the questions that are they're to address in that section. And those are also the same questions that the judges are judging them on. And then as they submit their application, we do have a plagiarism disclaimer. And as I mentioned, the survey. So they need to complete those 2 as part of the submission process. So the marketing design, as I mentioned, is a separate entry that you have to create. It's optional. You don't have to create a marketing design, but you do have to have a written idea in order to submit a marketing design. It's not a standalone competition. It's also not a design competition. The function of the marketing design is to create a graphic piece that will present your business to your customer. So it's not about how, you know, how artsy it is or how, you know, the design competition part of it, the design components. It's more about what's the messaging that you're giving to your customers. We do have a link and information on our website under the advisors tab for a free Canva for Education account that you can create, and then your students can have access to that to create their marketing design. So it's a really great tool that gets them maybe to not worry so much about the design component and worry more about what the wording is that they're going to include. Also on our website in the competition information, also right in the built right into the application form, is a list of all the elements that need to be included in the marketing design. Amazingly enough, over the years, we've seen people submit marketing designs with no information on there about how you are to contact the business. No phone number, no address, no website, no email. So it's like, okay, if you're going to try to get customers and you want them to come to your store, they have to know how to reach you or how to find you. So make sure you include all those elements. And then also to note that the marketing design is judged by a separate pool of people than are judging the written ideas. So the people that are judging the written ideas are not seeing the marketing design, and likewise, the marketing design folks are not seeing the written idea. And actually, the marketing design competition is supported by McQuillan Creative Group, which is a local marketing company here in Aberdeen. And it is their team of experts that are doing the judging for this award. Here's some examples of some of the marketing design winners over our most recent years. And I think the first one, the freeze-dried fun, was last year was the first year we used or provided access to Canva or promoted that. I'm sure maybe other years students or teachers have found that on their own, but we did see a lot more better graphic elements, I guess, in this year with the Canva use. We have a lot of resources on our website, and you can dig into the details in several areas here. But for advisors, the bigideasd.com is the website here. The advisor login up here is where you go to create your advisor account, and you can do that at any time. And then under the advisors tab is where you're going to see a lot of resources. This lessons, plans, and resources. We have a lot of links to different research information, resource information. We have a lesson plan, which is kind of a PowerPoint about how you can introduce this to your classroom. Just all kinds of, and the Canva information is on this advisor tab as well. In addition, just clicking on the advisor link will get you one place, and then there's also a drop down that will get you some additional areas. The competition has all the guidelines, the prizes, a lot of that information. And then we have FAQs for different sections of the competition, for judges, for teachers, for students. So be sure to check that out. Once you have created your advisor account, you will see an advisor dashboard. And this will be the kind of information that's on the dashboard where you can see your students, see their projects. These resources and best practices has a link to a lot of resources right here within the platform. Some of those are replicated here on the advisor tab as well. When you click on the project list, this is what you'll see. You'll see each student that has created a project within, you know, that has selected you as an advisor. So again, if you have your advisor account set up, when they set their account up, they can see, they get populated into your advisor dashboard. The tab that has students doesn't have the business name. It just has the student's name. And then the projects tab has the student name and the business name, as well as whether it's been submitted, whether there's a marketing design attached or not. The marketing designs can be uploaded as either a PDF or a JPEG. So that's why you see two columns here. It just depends on what the file type is, how that is presented. Keep in mind that if you do have more than one student working on a project, only one student needs to create a student account, and that's this user here that you're seeing here. So perhaps Raylan has a couple other team members. She can add those into her project once she's got her account established. Some things to consider as you are considering bringing this into your classroom. There are different educational standards that apply that Big Idea would fit into. In South Dakota, we have entrepreneurial education standards, so it fits well into that. Other states may have different standards, so consider that. Consider the team size if you want students to do this individually on their own or in groups, up to three students. Are you going to offer any credit or incentives through the process? Is it something you're going to do in class and require everybody to do, or just on their own as an optional activity? And then whether you want to do the marketing design option. And I highly recommend, if you do that, to use the Canva for Education account. The one nice thing about the Canva education account, it's FERPA and COPPA compliant, so you don't have to worry about your students' data being compromised or used. So enough from me. Do check out the bigideasd.com website. There's a ton of information out there. We have some posts that we try to keep people up to date, and we also have a Facebook page, so we try to get information out that way. But today we have with us Ann Frericks from Northwestern High School and Brendan Merkel, who was a former teacher at Loyola and is currently on our Big Idea Committee and is a judge for the competition as well. So they both have great insights with their years of experience. And I'm going to turn it over to them and have each of them kind of give a brief introduction. And then we have some questions that they're going to share with you. Go ahead, Ann.
Okay. So as Kelly mentioned, I'm Ann Frericks. I do teach business at Northwestern High School. And for my classes, I make this a requirement for my juniors. They take a business management class with me, and we do have an entrepreneurship portion with that. And so she was talking about there's a PowerPoint for the teachers to use in their lesson plans. I absolutely use that PowerPoint, and I just pull it right up, show it to the students. It explains each piece in detail. And then I do print off kind of a checklist for them as to what they should include. Some of my requirements is they need to have a minimum of 200 words. Otherwise, if they don't, you know, if they put in just 50 words, it's not going to get them anywhere. So I know the max is 250. And for me, my requirement is that they have to have a minimum of 200 on my scoring end. Once they submit it, I actually take their submission, and then I use that in my class as a grade. You know, a flat 100 points or whatever you want to, you know, score it as if you're taking it for a grade. And then I'll tell them, you know, I'm just like, as a judge, check over the spelling. And a lot of them, a key thing I tell them is put it in Microsoft Word first. That way they can save it, they can spell check it, and then copy and paste that into their document. I've had a lot of students lose things. I don't know, Kelly, if they've changed the timeout thing on that, but if you are in it for too long and it's sitting there and you don't actually close or save, because my students like to leave their tabs open forever, if it's not actually saved, they'll lose it. And then when they come back, they have to refresh and it's gone. And I'm like, well, that's why I told you to put it in Microsoft Word. So that would be a one hint, I guess, is to make sure they put it in Microsoft Word and save it. Other than that, I just let them go on their own. And I give them a deadline, of course. We do have some class time that they can work on it. I want them to at least run it by me at least once halfway through to kind of see where they're at. The financials is always going to be the hardest part for all of them. And I just tell them, you know, do a little bit of research. One of the things, as far as a hint, is to, you know, some of them want to start this huge, huge business. That's going to be hard for them. You know, maybe just to make it more realistic, can bring it down a little bit. The ones that have had the most success are the ones that, you know, they're not starting some huge car dealership or something like that. But that's kind of how we run it at Northwestern. And I've had students do very well. I've had finalists and students that have placed and been very excited. And when they do that piece of the interview in person, that's great experience for them when they get to that point and to do the elevator pitches and all of that. So if you can, those that make the finals, they even have a greater experience with it. So I think that's a really good opportunity for them.
Great. Thank you, Anne. Brendan, do you want to share a little bit how you manage this in your classroom?
So I, Brendan Merkel, from a professor of management at Dakota State. And I see this in both places. I was a K-12 teacher for many years, as like Anne is, as a business high school teacher. I always had it just in September, because we know in September it was always just crazy with homecomings and everything. So I did it every Friday as their assignment. And it was for grades 9 through 12. Now, I probably have less hair for introducing it as freshmen and them really not having an idea, but it also did spark the idea that they wanted to be able to participate in more business classes going forward. So it did really kind of work as a recruitment. So they did each section, one section a week. That way, then they would have to hand it to me. I could take a look at it and they could make the changes and everything going forward. It was 4 points is what I did. As Anne said, I also had them do it in Word because then I could look at it every time. And that is quite a few points on the rubric. I think it's around 25-ish, 50 points on the rubric for spelling, grammar. And so that does really kind of add up, especially if you're getting towards that. As Anne said as well, that 200 to 250 is really kind of that sweet spot. And so if they're not able to use those words and be specific, that's really where judging kind of comes in. So currently I am also a judge and my students at Dakota State also help judge. Now, when we look at that rubric, there's questions for each section. You need to be very clear, specific, and defined on answering those. When you're not, you can't assume that the judge knows what you're talking about. So some of the questions might be, what are your drawbacks from your business? Well, if it doesn't clearly state what are the drawbacks, we can't go in and assume that that would be a drawback because we're really grading on that rubric. So be very clear, be very precise and defined, and that's going to help us as well get close to that 250 words or 75 words in that concept overview. One thing too with the judging is each student gets 3 different judges. So I might be grading very differently than, let's say, Mrs. Frericks or Kelly or Tanner, but all of those get added together. So you do get 3 different judges, every student does. And so you kind of have to just really be very specific on those rubrics. I think that's really important. One thing that I did also as a K-12 teacher was to, because I had the students in each of my classes do it, I actually would print off the results and their judging results each year so that next year when they had me in class or the next semester, whatever, they could make those changes and then resubmit. Because students can resubmit, right, Kelly?
That's right. As long as they're not a finalist, they can resubmit. And what you get back, what the teachers get back for feedback and the students is all the judges are encouraged to include comments. So you have three judges looking at your entry. You know, you could have three comments or more on each section, potentially. Not every judge comments on every section, but every judge does provide some comments. So there's comments back to you plus their average score is what they get for feedback. And they absolutely can use that to improve on that idea going forward and submit again in the future.
I do the same thing. Even though they're juniors, they do have another year and it's helpful.
It does make a difference too, yeah. I think. Too. Mm-hmm. It makes you really understand what's necessary and what is just fluff.
Go ahead, Brenda. Go ahead.
Oh, and can, if I have a student who placed third, let's say, can they redo Big Idea the following year? I think that's always a question I get asked as well.
They can compete again, but they have to compete with a different idea. If they are a finalist and they come to that final event, then next year they would have to submit a different idea. Okay. Yeah.
And as Anne said too, that grammar and spelling it's key. It's distracting, and it's distracting for my students who are judging when they see the errors that show up. And so that's why doing it in Word it just really does help.
Do you have any particular resources? I know, Anne, you mentioned the lesson plan. Is there other resources on the Big Idea website that you reference or have used that have been helpful?
I have, especially when they go into each section. And you know, I think Brenda mentioned that too. Like, because they're like, well, what do we put in here? What do we need to say? Well, in each section that talks, it has questions there. And then there are actual links that might explain like industry. Like what is in your industry? And sometimes they don't have a hard time understanding what that concept means. And so they'll go out and they can use some of those. So I definitely refer them to that. And that seems to help. And again, looking at the questions, I give them the judge's rubric as well. Those are a couple of the things, like Brenda mentioned, that I print off. Not only within the PowerPoint does it have the questions you should have in your each section, but the judge's rubric is very helpful. So it's like, if you know what you're going to be graded on, why not use that? To me, that makes sense. So if they haven't answered all of those questions, and again, I feel like I shouldn't have to explain it to juniors, but it's like, guys, the questions aren't going to be in there. You just can't say, yes, I am this, I'm going to do this. What does that mean? They're not looking at the questions. It's not that kind of a thing. So that's the only thing I always seem to have to clarify. We're not just answering questions, put it into a narrative form, but make sure those questions are covered. And those are the biggest ones. And then yes, because I grade it again, I about halfway through, they have to come and show it to me. And mine's not necessarily every Friday, but yeah, I have a deadline. You need to have the first section done. Now you better have the second section and so on. So
did you have anything to add, Brenda? Was there other resources that you used in the classroom?
I was just going to ask Anne, when you prepare your students for finals and they have to do that financial section, what resources have you used, or do you wish there were other ones that were provided that we could put on?
I'll be honest, that's the hard part, because as far as to use resources, there's not really anything out there, and everything's very career or industry specific. And that is the hard part for these kids, because for example, if they're going to go and start a small business in a candy store, you can't go to your local candy store and say, how much do you pay for the candy? You know, they're not going to tell them how much they pay for it and then how much the markup is. And that's really hard for them. They can try and maybe look at wholesale things, or, you know, well, how much is rent on a building? Or the ones that seem to have a better grasp are the ones that do an online type business. And so, which are big now, you know, the big pop-ups, and they can go and maybe see what some wholesale type costs are, but that's very hard. You know, it's a little easier to figure utilities and buying equipment and machinery and that kind of thing, but the actual product itself and overhead, it's very hard. And there are not a lot of industry people, unless your family's in that business, they're not willing to share all of that. So I don't know if we could maybe nail that down a little better, that would be good.
That's great feedback. And just to be clear, the initial application does not require you to do any financials. I think it might ask you to consider what your major expenses are in that management and operations section. So if you're thinking about doing this in your classroom, don't get scared off on the financials, because that's not the core of the initial application. But
what Brenda was asking, and this is because I had a student, and the one that won, I think it was because she had an amazing financial statement, but it was also on a personal level, something that they had done at their farm. So she knew more about it, and she had already put in that research. And so that was a really good piece for her. But for the others, once they get to that, that is very hard for them to put together that financial. I mean, that is the hardest of all of it.
I think there's probably a few things we could add to that resource section based on that input. Thank you very much. Have you gotten any feedback from your students? What do they say about, you know, after they participated in this, what's been the students' feedback?
For Anne or myself?
Go ahead, Brenda, since you.
Okay. So from the judging perspective, I love listening to the college students sit and talk about the ideas, and they also sit and complain. Why can't they just answer the questions that are on the rubric? You know, I don't know what they mean, you know, so it's always kind of fun. Plus, I always come back and show the students who judged, who are the top eight that are chosen for the finals. And then after the winners are announced, I show those as well in case somebody judged them and everything too. There's always great debate on who has the better business as well when they're judging. So it's kind of fun. And I don't know if it's for like Anne, but when I was teaching in high school, it's random who actually can get as a finalist. Who I think might be a finalist didn't even get an honorary mention, but then somebody randomly gets in the top, and it's a lottery sometimes, I swear, but that's what makes it kind of fun too. I don't know if that's how you felt, Anne, as well.
Yeah. And that I think is frustrating. I've just talked to other teachers and maybe some that haven't ever gotten anybody into finals or haven't for a long time. They're frustrated by that because they know this person wrote an amazing, business plan, and they're running the business. That's the one in particular that I'm thinking about. This young man was running a business and was making a lot of money and doing very well, and it didn't even get close to being in the top. So that, but I do explain it to my students. It's like going to get a loan, and you go sit in front of a banker and you explain it to them. And sometimes it's just on whether or not they clicked with you, whether they thought it was a great idea, because the next person might think that's never going to work. And you go to the next bank, you know what? I really like that. That's going to be great. I said, that problem is you're going to have all of those different judges, and you might get three judges that don't really like your idea, or you might get three that love your idea. And that's the random part of it. Or you get a smattering of in between. And obviously if you happen to get three that think it's great, more than likely, you know, you'll be in the finals. But they really like getting their scores back. They like seeing how close they were, the honorable mention, because I kind of, and I'm not 100% sure, Kelly, but when you list the honorable mentions, like literally the first person you list, because it's not an alphabetical order, is it by score? And that's the next, that would have been number 9 or 10 or 11. Yep. Okay. That's what I figured, because that's how we kind of, so they like seeing the whole list, because we always get quite a few honorable mentions, and they're like, dang, I was only 4 off, or, you know, something like that. So they get excited just over being an honorable mention and that kind of thing. So that's fun.
And one thing I wish there was, you know, we just don't have enough students that are running their business to have a separate competition. But, you know, something that the committee is always excited about is when students have businesses. And we do, that's one of the reasons why we ask that question, because we do provide more, we contact those students after the fact and say, hey, if you're running your business or want to run you're looking at running this business, here's some resources you can tap into. And, you know, the committee is always willing to make connections too. You know, even if somebody didn't make it to the finals, you know, if we could connect with them somehow, we'd be glad to pair them up with a mentor or, you know, find a community member who's in their industry that they can talk to. So I just put that out there to teachers that, you know, if you have a student who really falls into that bucket, whether or not they're a finalist, maybe there's some things we can still, you know, provide to them. And the final event, we bring in speakers, you know, we have booths and activities during the day. Everybody's welcome to come to that. I know if you don't have a finalist, sometimes it doesn't make the cut for bringing a bunch of kids to Aberdeen. But if you can, it's worthwhile. And we did add a couple of years ago, giving more of our honorable mention students a chance to present also in a different venue in the morning, just to give a pitch of their idea and be able to respond to a few questions from audience if there was some. So we've added that component to get a few more students some an opportunity to do that public speaking and to get up in front of people and talk about their idea. What is there one piece of advice you would give to a new teacher or a teacher who's considering this in their classroom? I mean, you gave them some great advice already, but is there anything else that comes to mind?
Just look at the PowerPoint and look over everything, all of those pieces. Make sure your students know what's expected of them at each piece. Know when the deadline is and make sure they submit. Don't trust that they're going to submit it over the weekend when October 31 falls on a Sunday night. And then I promise I'll get it done. No.
Yeah, that's an excellent piece of advice from the person who has to deal with that.
I know, because I believe I've had to email you a couple of times. So yeah, no.
Brenda, any other?
I'm going to pull a Top Gun Maverick quote here. Don't think, just do.
Yeah.
It's not overwhelming. I know it probably is overwhelming when you look at it online and this is the first time you've heard of it. But in the scope of your 9 months of your academic year, this is probably just minutes that you can whip together and throw together. And it's just kind of a nice little addition to adding value to everything else you do in your curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, ladies, for your input. A couple things that have come to my mind as you've been talking. You know, when we do have advisors create their account, you get a question about how many students or how many entries you think you're going to submit. So that really helps us in planning and kind of gauging how many teachers are participating, how many entries to expect, because as Anne mentioned, I know a lot of teachers say we're working on it on Word, but that means I don't even know they're participating until October 28th and 20 entries come in. So it really helps us to, you know, have you activate your advisor account and let us know that, hey, we're participating and this is about how many entries we expect to have. And then we aren't surprised at the last minute of, you know, five schools we didn't even know were participating. We're going to do that. So that's very helpful to us on our end. We do have some how-to videos, which is a little bit more insight into each of those sections, you know, what to consider in competition. So it's something a little bit above and beyond what's the questions are. So that might be a helpful resource on our YouTube channel to look at those how-to videos. And I think that we will also look at, see if we can find some of those maybe standard markups for different industries. I mean, I know we have access to that here in our office. Maybe we can pick some common ones and add that to our resource list based on your feedback.
And one thing too is if a teacher wants to try this and feels overwhelmed, reach out to you, Kelly. I can you'll connect them with another teacher or somebody that's willing to help. Sometimes even depending on where their school is at, may even be able to drive to that school and help them as well.
Absolutely. And with Zoom as the tool that we have available, you know, we could even Zoom into a classroom and have a conversation with your students if that's helpful, or have a conversation with you as the teacher. We're all about that. Well, anybody else have any other parting words of wisdom before we wrap it up? We're just really excited to launch Big Idea 2023, and we're excited that you're, you know, considering it, and we're really thankful for Brenda and Ann to share their words of wisdom. And as Brenda said, please reach out with any questions that you do have, and let us know how we can be helpful. Have a great day, and we will see you on the deadline, October 31st, for Big Idea.